Adrian Believers with Helen L. L, how the hell are you?
Cold.
Me too.
I'm really cold.
I can tell because you're quite like hunched into a ball.
I am in a ball.
This accent that we have when we say ball now.
This, I know, rub it in a ball.
Rub it in a little ball. Ellen and I keep finding that, you know how we always quote movies, quote shows, quote things in life. We are now quoting ourselves.
Yeah, it's becoming like uncomfortable.
I know. The amount of times I walk around now and I go, sexy.
I feel that. Oh, it's like the next levels of narcissism in the show industry are like kicking in.
Yes.
I feel like that's a thing in the industry, like that I've heard that apparently there's a lot of people that just develop characteristics of narcissism just because they're in like show business. Because they have to like,
well, there's no business like show business.
But I don't think that's us.
I don't think so.
There's a lot of self-hilarious.
We just said the opposite thing.
You're like, we're hilarious. And I'm like, selfie. Oh, speaking of the show business, have you seen that Kendall Jenner, Charlie D'Amelio, Paris Hilton, they've all got like an AI version of themselves on Instagram now?
I am completely freaked out by it. I don't like it.
No.
Something's really bothering me about it, but I also have a fear of AI.
I think so do I. Except I do like when they make me like, they're like, oh, let's see what your yearbook would look like. And then I pay my $9 to go like get to look
see,
at me.
See, everything that's been like that, that makes us look like an elf or, you know, something really glorious, I have refused to put my image in it because I'm scared that it's going to take all of my qualities, all of my facial expressions, everything, all of my likeness.
And turn it into a porno. That's what I'm always fearful of.
No, that's not where I was going. Okay. That is now my new fear.
Sorry.
Yes.
I'm always terrified. I'm like, oh, God. And I have to try to prove, like, it's not me. Trust me. I'm not that good.
Yes. Yes, I have a fear. And My other way of thinking of it is I treat all of my technology very nicely. Mm-hmm. So at least one day when it takes over the world, it will keep me as a pet.
Oh, okay. I get you. Just like, thank you, laptop. Thank you, laptop.
Oh, I'm so sorry. And I whip myself when I accidentally drop my phone. I'll torture myself. Like, I'll get the whip and I'll whip my back.
Like, you can hit me back. You can hit me back.
Forgive me, I'm like Dobby from Harry Potter.
The AI thing does creep me out as well. I feel like what's creepy about this AI thing with the Kendall Jenner stuff, and if you guys are listening and you don't know what we're talking about, look up, what is her name?
It's
like
this is Billy or
yeah,
yours,
like
yours is Billy?
Something like that on
yours
Instagram.
Is Billy.
And there's like a few different, like the meta universe has the AI systems that are like pretending to be Kendall Jenner, but like she's agreed to it, and all these celebrities have like basically agreed to having like AI versions of themselves with different names. I think Charlie D'Amelio's name is Coco. Yeah, Coco Jumbo. But
yeah, Coco Jumbo.
I was singing that in the car earlier. But I think like it's basically like you can chat with it and it like tells you, like it just responds back to you through AI.
Yeah.
But I'm very confused. This is what we were talking about earlier. Like, I'm very confused about how, like, is the AI part them? Like, is it like them talking? You have to see the Instagram to understand. But there's like videos of Kendall Jenner saying like, hey, my name's Billy. You can chat with me, blah, blah, blah. Is that AI or is that actually a video of Kendall Jenner representing herself as the face of that AI system?
I think because from what I saw in a TikTok video, when you go to message them, even though you cannot message them at the moment, there's no message button to message Billy
slash
Kendall. When you looked at the messaging, it actually had the AI Kendall in the corner, and it's just like kind of sitting there like looking at you smiling, and you know, they're just kind of doing this movement with their face. I don't think that one in particular was Kendall Jenner. But I think the video of Kendall being like, hi, this is Billy, blah, blah, blah. I think I'm assuming that was actually Kendall.
When I read the comments, it made it sound like that one was actually Kendall. So, and I feel like I've watched, again, videos as well where they were saying that, like, Kendall had done put in time to, like, do, to get this working with them. So that makes sense to me.
Yeah, but why would you still do that?
Yeah, I feel like it's a bit icky. I think it's also unnecessary. Like, if there needs to be a chat box, why can't it be, like, ask Jerry, like, when we were in, like, high school?
Yeah,
like, I used to always, like, text those phone numbers, like, ask Jerry a question and... Did you do those?
No, I didn't do those, but I did the one that was on MSN.
Oh.
That bot that you can chat to.
Yeah. I didn't mind those.
Yeah.
Like, ask me, like, tell me what you know about me.
Creepy.
Creepy. Never was correct.
Have you seen Ready Player One?
Yes, I used to love that.
So, if you haven't seen Ready Player One, it's basically, it was originally a book, I think, but it's a movie about how people, the world, the real world's basically gone to shit, mm-hmm. right? So people live in a virtual reality. Like, that's where they spend most of their time. That's how they spend day to day. Is that going to happen to us because of how AI is becoming, because of how virtual reality is becoming a really big deal as well? The planet will is slowly going to shit, right? Will we be in Ready Player One one day?
I don't think us specifically.
Maybe our grandchildren.
Maybe great-grandchildren, maybe. But at the same time, I'm sort of hopeful. Like, I want to stay on to the hopefulness because, like, the more I speak to, like, younger generations, like, as in, and not, like, younger generations, like, children at the moment, but the more I speak to, like people that have just turned 18, for example, they're all much more conscious aware of, like, being present and in the present moment than I think even our age people are to some extent.
I think because we didn't have to focus on it.
Yeah.
We already were present because us growing up as kids anyway, up to our early to mid-teens, we didn't have those distractions.
Yeah, exactly.
We were already present. Like,
I was so present as a child.
Wow. I was very present. And even now, when I'm out in public, I think to myself, do not touch your phone.
Yeah.
If I'm by myself somewhere, I do not look at my phone as a distraction. I like to people watch, so I tend to tell myself, no, you're just going to sit and just look at your environment right now.
Yeah, I think I'm the same when I'm out in public. I think the issue with whether it's going to turn to Ready Player One or not is not what we're doing when we actually leave the house. It's what we do inside.
Inside the
house. You know what I mean? Like, it's about getting...
The call is coming from inside the house.
But it's, like, about actually leaving the safety of, like, becoming a homebody to the extent of being virtually at home but feeling like you're outdoors.
Yeah.
Or feeling like you're socializing with others while you're actually just in your house and you haven't, like, really left your living room for the last, like, 3 days.
There's so many movies that touch on this topic. Like, even something as simple as WALL-E.
I was thinking WALL-E this whole time.
That's a really creepy thought that we're all going to gain like 100 kilos. We're going to be floating around on a ship and we're just going to be eating, consuming and talking to each other on FaceTime. That is a scary thought. There's actually a Bruce Willis movie that I watched not long ago and I don't remember what it's called. I'll need to look it up. But it's about how you yourself do not leave the house. It's kind of like a virtual reality that puts your mind into like a robot version of you.
Ooh.
And then that version of you goes out into the world, not you.
Mm.
So there's a lot of really interesting movies that touch on this subject.
Oh, for sure. I think for long before even technology was like this advanced, you know. But I don't know. Hopefully it's something that in our lifetime we don't have to really...
We just don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
I worry for my children and my children's children, though.
Yeah. You know what? That's a question, right? And I know we probably have to get into the episode in a second, but this is just something that's interesting.
Tell me.
We think about our children and then our children's children, like our grandchildren and then those children's children. But then beyond that, do we care anymore? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, because we know we're not going to be there. And, like...
We'll be long gone.
Like, that's not... Like, it's like a... Is it so far disconnected that, like, we don't think about... Because, like, I wonder if our great-great-great-great-great-grandparents thought this far along.
Like, probably not.
Yeah. Did they care for this far along?
I don't think so. I don't want to say that people hundreds of years ago were more simple-minded. I don't think that was the case. But maybe... It's hard to think that people hundreds of years ago thought about different concepts like that.
Yeah, interesting.
But I don't know why I think that, but if for some reason it's hard for me to think that they would.
Yeah.
But think about how much you think about your great-great-great-grandparents, Elle. How much do you think about them?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm like, why does it go, it goes both
answer,
ways.
Answer the question. How much do you think about them?
I think probably I question it, but I would only question it as far as maybe my grandparents' parents and maybe above them. I don't think I question further than that. No. Or I question like way before that in terms of like finding out my true identity. Like do I
like what, ancestry.com.
Yeah, which my mom actually did a DNA test the other day. I'm excited for the results. Ooh, a couple of weeks we shall do a reveal.
Oh, let's do it. Well, I'm not going to lie to you. Beyond my grandparents' parents, I have not given much thought.
Yeah, but that's what makes me think.
So that just goes to show, I think it will go both ways.
Yeah. Very interesting though, right? Because like because it's so natural to think about like the few generations before and above and below us, but like anything past that, it's like, do we care if the world ends at that point? Like that's bizarre.
Yeah, I guess it's everyone who I love, as long as they're not here anymore. Eh.
Yeah.
whatever happens.
Yeah.
But then again, maybe we'll come back and we will be living again. Yeah. I don't know.
I know. Who knows? It's pretty, it's,
that's this is a heavy topic.
I know, the universe is like.
The universe.
So exciting.
It is but exciting. Also terrifying.
It's like the ocean.
Yes. Oh my God. Don't even get me started about the ocean. Don't even get me started.
Or another topic for another day.
Yes. All right. Let's get to the meat and beans.
Let's please.
Of the episode. We have a great guest today.
We do.
Her name is Tiff. She is from the band Blanco Trenco.
Tell me you don't love that name, because I love that name.
I love it. I think I mentioned it in the episode, but does it not remind you of an 80s band?
Oh, yeah.
For example, Duran Duran.
Oh, yeah. Blanco Trenco, Duran Duran.
Duran Duran. Yeah, even Hootie Gurus.
Yeah. It feels so on vibe with that. I love that.
Yeah, yeah. It's on that level, and I'm love
here
it,
for
Elle.
It. I'm
I
here for it.
I love it.
Love it.
I love it, Isaiah. Tiff is amazing. She was so much fun to talk to. She gets really open with us. She talks a lot about her struggles, which we really appreciate whenever someone does that. Please go check out Blanco Trenco. They had a new EP recently called Get Back to Me When It's Over.
No, Tiff was fantastic, and I just really felt like we vibed very well all together.
I thought we vibed.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
Also, an editor's note. For the first, like, 10 to 15 minutes of us talking to Tiff, I forgot to put our headphones in.
Oh.
Right? So there may be slight echoes of Tiff's voice here and there.
Yes.
But after about 10, 12, 15 minutes around there, it stops. Because then I realized, I was like, oh, shit, this isn't coming into my ears right now. It's out in the open.
How did neither of us pick that up? Know. Bizarre.
I don't know. It just shows how professional we are.
Not at all.
Yes, okay. All right, we'll be right back with Tiff.
L&L.
Yes, L&L.
L&L. Yes, but if you get confused, you could just be like, hey, you, and this one. This one over here.
Yeah.
That one. We basically like to cut straight to it and start off with a this or that.
Let's get to it.
All right, first things first. I don't know how tricky this is going to be. Backstreet Boys versus NSYNC.
Backstreet Boys, no question.
Is there a song in particular that wins you over for that?
I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? I want it that way. You can't beat it. You can't beat it.
You are my fire. Although I gotta say, the one that gets me is the one that's like, "Oh, you people, can't you see? Can't you see?"
Do we know that one?
Yes, we know that
one. I just like their music videos, to be honest. So I feel like Backstreet Boys is a good one.
Like, so quintessentially, like, early 2000s. Like, it's so, so tacky, but just so, so brilliant. The frosted tips.
I actually found out that NSYNC, I think I read yesterday that NSYNC are having a comeback with Justin Timberlake.
Are you serious?
Yeah, oh, I heard. God. So I'm curious if that was just, like, me on my nostalgic millennial pages of Facebook, and it's just, like, a fake, exciting clickbait for me, or if it's genuine, I'm excited.
Ooh, that is very exciting.
Yes.
It's gonna be me.
This is him just trying to, like, uncancel himself or, like, push.
Yeah, I know. I really think
I thought the exact same thing.
We were actually just talking about that today because we were watching some of the Lonely Island.
Oh, my God, yes. The mother lover.
The lover. Yes. And I was like, damn, he was really in some sort of prime. And yeah. Now he's nowhere near it.
No, he really just turned from, like, the coolest dude ever to...
Taylor Swift versus Ed Sheeran.
Taylor Swift. You're asking me about a woman or a man?
Oh, we play this game. So we're going from that point of view, hey?
I'm never going to choose a man.
Interesting, right. Interesting.
Unless, I don't know, wait, I've got to see what other questions you've got for me, because I might say that, but I do love Taylor Swift.
I've got to go with Ed Sheeran on this one. I just prefer his music.
Okay. No, I get it. I feel like Taylor Swift isn't for everyone. She's not for us all.
She is amazing.
They're both very talented. I feel like I'm stuck somewhere in between.
Mm.
I can see where you're coming from as well, because I think Ed just has, like, more listenable songs every day for me, I suppose.
Yeah, that's where it hits for me.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, I only really liked the first album, though, which I loved. Like, I like a disgusting amount of love for the first album. And it'll always be one of my favorite albums, but I have not liked any album since. So it's hard for me to...
I see what you're saying, because when I'm thinking to Ed songs, I'm thinking of, like, the first one or two albums. So yeah, I see it. Sure. I see your point.
Very like us in high school, Ed Sheeran.
Yes,
yeah, very which true. Was like 10 years ago. But yeah.
Shit, it's crazy to think that he's been around for longer than 10 years.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. Because it feels like we're in high school like 2 years ago. That's why.
We all were, weren't we? Next question.
Okay. Smelly Cat versus Ross on his keyboard. Sorry, that was an evil laugh I just had.
Yeah, you did.
Fuck. Ross on the keyboard, because it's just, it's so funny. Like,
I know.
I mean, Smelly Cat's truly, like, that's a all-time kind of hit type moment. But Ross on the keyboard, it's avant-garde. It's before its time. It's
electrifying.
You know, it's everything to me.
I agree. I think... See, there's an opportunity where you pick the male instead of the female. Yes. I see. That's what I was worried about. I'm like, oh, my God. But then at the same time, I'm like, either option is so good.
Yeah, I know.
There's no wrong answer to that question.
The thing is about Smelly Cat is that there's so many renditions of it. You know, there's a Smelly Cat, Smelly Cat. Like her sick voice, her sexy sick voice.
Oh, Pepe Mache Man.
Pepe Mache Man.
I've been rewatching Friends a lot lately, so I'm right in the heart of it. Or the fact that Smelly Cat is just made up from her dad singing to her, like, Sleepy Girl, Sleepy Girl. Yes. I'm in my massive Friends phase right now.
Yeah. What like, iteration of rewatch is this? Like, how many rewatches have we had?
I feel like a lot, like a lot. I think... I've been watching it since I was, like, early high school, so I'm going to say this is, like...
Like, at least once a year since.
Yeah, plus I was always watching it, like, on just TV. Like, I was very much a Foxtel girl, so I'd constantly be... Mm. Even rewatching the same episode on Fox, like, the like, next times two channel. Two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you also find being a Foxtel girl that... I also had Foxtel, but I do not know any of those other, like, classic Australian... ABC kids shows. I'm like, I don't get it. I'm sorry.
No, unless I stayed at my grandma's house after school, I did not catch on. Like, exactly. I remember Go Go Stop, and that's it.
And it was hell. It was hell. I feel bad.
Fox 8, Simpsons Weekend Marathon.
Yes.
Or Holiday Marathons.
Yes.
Watch it on Fox 8, and then watch the exact same episodes on Fox 8
Plus
2.
Plus 2.
That's where I was.
That is literally me. That and Triple One Hits.
Like, yes, Triple One
those
Hits.
Those two, I was like back and forth, and then just music videos the rest of
or
the time.
Or Arena. Because they had, like, Will and Grace.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Friends,
so good.
Will and Grace.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I feel like we're all on the same page.
I love that you're a Foxtel girl.
Yeah, Foxtel girl. We're a different species. Yeah. We're a different breed. Yes. The Nutbush or the Macarena?
The Macarena, because I've never learned the Nutbush.
You're the second person to say this to
That's
us.
That's actually crazy.
Yes.
Okay, because that makes me feel a little bit better, because I have tried to learn as well. Like, I never learned as a child, and I don't know if that's the reason. It was never a thing. I did go to a, like, very Christian, like, primary school. So I'm like, maybe there was something wrong with the Nutbush that they did not want us to do the Nutbush. But
yes, the nut. Maybe
the nut. Yes.
Not, like,
singing about the old nut.
Yes. I feel like, were you in primary school in the same time as the Ketchup song and that dance? Mm. Do they say, I said, I hear. Yeah, I feel like that was, like, also in the mix of that time of the Macarena.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know the dance to that either, but I'm not a good dancer, full stop. So it's too many steps.
You're talented in other ways. It's fine.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
We are not talented in either of those ways.
No, so neither. Like, so we're just sad, sad people.
Yeah.
Hey, as long as you can do the nutbush.
Yeah. It's important. Oh, I do like the kicks in the nutbush. Yeah. It makes me happy.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm jealous. It looks fun.
Oh, it is. It is.
It's fun. I'm not going to lie. I'm still very surprised because it was so a part of my primary school.
Same.
Every year we'd have like towards the end of the year, we'd do like dances and it was always the nutbush.
Yeah. No, it was always the macarena. The macarena was for sure. That was the staple, but never the nutbush. Or there was the nutbush and I just completely blanked it out.
Some bad things happened with the nutbush and you just blocked it out.
Yeah. Some chick just kicked you up the butt. You're like, no!
Not the nutbush.
Yeah.
Who should have won? Guy Sebastian or Shannon Noll?
I knew that was
good. Yeah, are you serious?
Okay, at the time, I would have 1,000% said Shannon Noll. Wait, who won? Guy Sebastian won.
Except that's like the thing that everyone just feels like Shannon Noll won because it felt like he won Australia's heart, you know?
Yeah, he definitely did. I think I still have to say Shannon Noll. I have to stick with my guy. He has done some kind of interesting things over the past few years, but I won't hold that against him in regards to this question.
fair cool. Yeah. We also chose Shannon Noll. Yes. We were discussing this when we were thinking of the questions earlier and we're just like, Guy Sebastian, very talented, amazing,
very talented,
but Shannon Noll just won me over. Plus What About You is such a classic. I can't deal.
It's such a classic. I honestly, I'm not gonna lie, I did have his like EP that he released because, you know, they both released like a little EP afterwards. I had it and I played it on my Walkman like over and over. So I would have been like fully lying if I said guys.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Did you like the song Drive?
I love that song. The music video where he's
so
like,
good.
I got a car.
I got a big red shiny car.
Oh, it's so good. I actually, it just makes me so happy, that song.
I really love it too.
Yeah.
But I haven't thought about it in so long. This is the first thing I'll be doing after this.
All right. That is the end of This or That.
Oh, that was beautiful. Thank you.
Well done.
It's okay.
You did well, I think. Very well done.
So tell us about Blanco Tranco. Tell us how that began, how you came up with such a catchy name.
I know.
Well, when did we start? They actually, all the other three, Mark, Sophie and Matt, were together as a band before pre-Tiff era of Blanco Tranco. And they actually all found each other on Gumtree.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Our guitarist, Matt, put up a post on Gumtree and was like, looking to start a post-punk sort of band in these suburbs. And then they all met up and found out that, like, they were all from – had all lived in Canberra at some point as well, or like some of them were from Canberra. Canberra was a big thing. I've got nothing to do with Canberra. In fact, I'd like to stay as far away as possible, but good for them. That was a nice bonding point. And I think they played a few instrumental gigs while they were like trying to look for a singer. And they found me on SoundCloud. I had some kind of like little spacey bedroom recording type things up there. And they sent me a message and I didn't see it for like 3 months. Yeah. And so then when I finally saw it, I was like, oh no. Cause I like looked at the music on their page. I was like, it's really good. Like, what if they found someone else? So I messaged back and he replied like the next day. I was like, no, we're still looking for someone. And then they sent like a few instrumentals over. I wrote lyrics and stuff for them. And our first practice just went so well. They actually, I had nothing to do with naming them though. They were already Blanco Tranco. And I don't really understand it. It technically means, I think it means white marble. It's like a type of Italian white marble. But I think that is like a link to the band Black Marble, which is another post-punk kind of band. But I only recently made that that link and had to double check with Matt that that was the link. Am I just going to like start saying that and it'd be a lie? But I think that's it.
That's so cool. I actually love the name Blanco Trinka. I said this to you before we started recording, but I really feel like it reminds me of an 80s rock band. So you got like Hootie Gurus, Duran Duran. It gives me that kind of...
Yes. Like a little bit goofy, but it's bouncy. It's fun.
It is fun. It really is fun.
It so is fun.
Your music, by the way, so, so instantly likable. Like so instantly likable. It is very much our type of sound.
You actually instantly want to hear it live.
Yeah, instantly.
Instantly. And you know that it would be just fantastic.
Insane live. Yes. Yeah. Literally, we're both sitting there. We're like, we need to go see them. And then we saw that you had like a post that looked like it was for Cherry Bar or something like that. We're like, we must go. So, yeah. Yeah, no, you can tell that it'd be amazing live, and like just the songs in general are just so easy to listen to and have this real like, yes, pop punk alternative kind of sound, but it's just very original at the same time. It's really cool.
Thank you so much. I'm like blushing.
Please. No, it's really good. Like really, really good and good quality. Like I can see very why good. You were so excited when they reached out to you because like just musically wise, it musically, I keep thinking of the old TikTok musically. TikTok used to be called musically. What? That's what I thought of. Yeah.
I had no idea.
But yeah, like music wise, it sounds insane as well. The song Lara, is that one that you like, you've written the lyrics to that, or is that something that was collaborated with? How did that all happen?
Our process for every song is pretty similar, which is that it's usually Matt, Will, our guitarist, will kind of we'll make a demo because he has all these like insane guitar parts and it's very like shoegazy, a lot of pedal use. And he'll put like kind of a temporary drum track and bass part in there. I'll go through when I'm feeling in a writing mood and we'll kind of find one that I'm gravitating towards, and then I'll write the lyrics and the melody for it. But Lara was the same, but I was at a time where I was trying to write. I was actually actively like, I've got to write a lot of songs for them, because this was one of our first songs that we wrote, and I was just getting no inspiration whatsoever. It was the start of lockdown, I think, and I was trapped in my I was staying with my boyfriend at the time, and he was staying in this like disgusting share house. It was just like so gross, like
cat
piss everywhere, just like freaks of like the dank smell like hits you as soon as you walk in, you know, like the damp and the weed and the piss, and that's so good. He wasn't even there, but I was kind of like stuck in his room, and I was like, I gotta freaking write these. And nothing was coming to mind. So I went outside for a minute, and all these manky men were smoking joints and asked me if I wanted some. I was like, no, actually, I'm being very responsible. I'm writing a song. And it took them about 2 seconds to just convince me to have some. And I was like, okay, yeah. All right, fine. Okay, so it'll probably help. But then I went into the room and I just sat down and I literally just, it all just came out of me in like one go.
Wow.
So I was like, and then I just will sleep.
Back to sleep. Yeah. A little nap.
Wow.
I was kind of like, all right. I think it did just take that block off, and I was just like, and I think my feeling of discomfort at the time as well kind of fed into that, just being like, ugh.
Man, that would have been so uncomfortable, and you couldn't leave because
you're waiting for COVID. Your partner as well, yeah. And yes, COVID. I didn't even remember. I forgot about the COVID aspect of that, yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, that would have been like hell. Oh,
like absolute hell.
Yeah, all these people living in the house are like, oh yeah, COVID doesn't even exist. It's so stupid. Yeah. We should just have a big party and like we'll get COVID. And I was like, I hate you and I hate this so much.
Oh my God. That's literally my reaction.
Was that Sharehouse on the news? Was that one of those events it that were been. On the news? That was like, these people are destroying the state.
You're in Victoria as well, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. So you experienced like a real lockdown, like
harsh
lockdowns.
Harsh lockdown. Very disturbing stuff, as we all know.
Yes, it was intense. Out. But I agree. I felt like back then I was so righteous about like keeping to the law. I'm such a Dan Andrews like obsessor.
Dan, apologize.
Yeah, I'm like an obsessor. Yes. But yes, but no, I get you. I feel like I had a friend that had a partner that lived in a share house like a few years back, and I remember walking into it. It was like St. Kilda area, and it was just like, I swear there was like 12 people living in a house that's made for like 3 people, and it was just like beds all over the floor, pee everywhere. And I was like, yikes.
Well,
yeah,
that's the thing, it's always everywhere. Waste of people.
Yeah, there's too many people squished in one place, but it's because it's so expensive to live. You have a place to pee everywhere all the time.
I don't know. I remember, if there's boys, I feel like they pee everywhere.
Yeah.
It's a boy thing.
It is. It's just, it's so, so but this share house I was talking about was also in St. Kilda.
Oh, maybe it's the same one we're thinking of.
There was like 6 dudes living there, and one of them was living in the lounge room, and there was only one lounge room. That was his room.
Oh, wow.
And then there was about 5 bedrooms, and all the walls were like painted on and like covered in like all these like newspaper clippings and things and like collages from the woman who had lived there before. And
just like this red string.
But like it may as well have been. It was like little words and like conspiracy type.
Oh, wow.
It was really, really weird.
That's actually maybe terrifying.
Yeah.
How long were you there for?
Oh, I was there on and off. I was living with my parents at the time. So it was weird because I was kind of like trying to get out of like the family home, and then also being there was like not great either. So
yeah, it's just like, oh, I just don't want to be with my family right now. But then it's like, oh, I don't want to be in this piss hole.
Exactly. Exactly. There was no good option. So I was pretty much fucked. But
no, that makes sense. We're in better places now. It's good.
Yes. We got Lara out of it as well. So that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God. Yeah. And what an amazing song.
Yes. Lara is part of the new EP as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. And like, Punch Drunk Love, maybe say. God. Excellent name choice because it reminds us of Adam Sandler.
Yes.
But also, is there a connection there?
Yes, it is named after the movie.
Woo! Okay, you are good.
One of us.
Yes, Jesus. One of us. That's so cool.
It's a great movie. And
it is.
I feel like, just as well, it had the kind of same, I mean, lyrically somewhat adjacent, so I was like, let's make it work. I had to fight for it a little bit, but
no, it's definitely, it really won us over. It really did. Yes. Like, as soon as we read that, we're like, surely it's not just coincidence.
No,
that's so awesome. So in terms of like creating this EP, like how long has it kind of taken? Like, because you mentioned that Lara was written on like a fair few years back, like has this been a long, lengthy process? Like, how's it been releasing the songs? What's the highs and lows of that sort of situation emotionally?
We kind of had, making our first EP, we'd already had kind of like maybe 9 or 10 songs to choose from, and we kind of chose some of our favorites and then the ones that we thought would like fit together and within the theme, and it was very much like nostalgia and that kind of thing. And then so when we came to making our second EP, I was like, well, we've done all the good songs now, we've done all our best ones, like it's not going to be as good. It's not going to do as well. But we had a couple of new ones, which was Swim Between the Flags.
I like the name as well of that one.
Yep.
thank you. That was me also. Well, the best names are mine, of course.
You can tell.
Yeah, that one and Punch Drunk Love was pretty new as well. This is me now looking like what is on the EP and Take Care of Yourself. So there were like 3 new, and then Lara, Petrichor and Santorini were like back there with the first kind of few songs that I've written for. They just didn't make it into the kind of theme of the first one. And so, yeah, I was nervous, but then going into the studio with Callum Newton, he just kind of completely reimagined those songs, and they just turned into something so amazing. Whereas like with the first EP, it was very much true to kind of the demos that we'd done. But he did a really good job of molding them and making them all sound really cohesive. And it took on, I don't think any of us had like a vision of like what it was about, but we knew it was going to be a bit darker, a bit more, It's funny. We think that it sounds dark, but everyone's like, it's like sunshine and like surfy.
I see how.
I'm like, fair enough. Okay.
It's like an edgy surf day. I like it. Surf. Edgy surf day. Yeah. Surfing at night, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Surf at nighttime.
Well, I guess we were thinking like, oh, yeah, surfing at night. Wasn't it like neon and stuff like that?
Yes.
Like Miami kind of thing at night with the neon. Yes. and the palms.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, so it all just kind of ended up working really well. I was just so chuffed with it. Take Care of Yourself as well, being our first single, we put it out like a lot, like well before. So I was kind of like, oh, once it finally came to putting out the EP, I'm like, does it belong? But
yeah.
Now I'm like, I think it all worked in the end.
I think it does.
That is really good. It's all about trusting the process, I think.
Yeah.
And letting it ride and seeing what happens. I wonder, when you're creating an EP, do a lot of doubts come to you? Because, I mean, like, this is so small scale, but even sometimes when we're doing, like, just podcast episodes, I tend to doubt myself and doubt what I'm putting out there, whether it's actually entertaining or bringing anyone actually learning anything from it. Do you have those feelings regarding making an album? Like, even now that it's out and it's released and you're talking about it and you're playing it for the public, do you feel like, you know what, I love this? Do you have those moments of doubt?
Oh, imposter syndrome. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely imposter syndrome. And I think especially with, we've been put on a few Spotify editorial playlists now, which didn't happen at all with our first EP. And so we've gotten all these, like, just so many streams, especially for Lara.
Yes, yes.
Which so many people have said it's, like, their favorite song as well. And I'm like, I was just like, I don't know, like, maybe it's boring because it's slower. We have, like, some more, it's actually not, it's, like, one of our faster songs, but it feels more, you know, like, chill.
Yeah.
Less, like, boppy. And yeah, part of me just won't believe it. And I'm like, oh, a lot of the streams are in the US, so it doesn't count.
Oh, I've done that as well. Oh my God.
Like, it's not, we didn't do anything. Like, it's just luck. So definitely, I guess me personally, I think as the vocalist, I often feel like I'm like, oh, well, I don't do that much. Like, it's everyone. Like, I feel just, yeah. I owe everything to the other three. Like, they, I just feel like I just waddle in and sing song. Even though I know that's not.
Yeah, you wrote Lara.
Yeah, like, I know. Girl.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's
no,
just,
I get you. It's probably easy to feel that way as well because you were the last member of the group.
Yeah.
And they were already doing their thing for a while. Yeah. And then you're like, hey! But you're also the missing link. Yeah. I think it's really easy. Like, we were actually. Yeah. We were actually having a conversation the other week about the two of us, like, and how, like, sometimes I'll feel like, oh my God, I just rock up to this thing. Like, you do all the editing, you do this. And she's like, well, sometimes I feel like I don't mention enough stuff or I don't do this. And we're both saying, like, it's crazy that to the individual, our perception of what the actual reality is so different to the other people that you're collaborating with. Yeah. And then again, so different to what, like, your audience is seeing as well. So just, I feel like, yeah, anytime you're doubting yourself, like, it's definitely a moment to, like, reflect and be like, you know what, like, imposter syndrome is normal and 100%. Everyone feels it. And I wrote a kick-ass song that has like 18,000 streams. So yeah. You know what, like, woo for you. Yeah.
So true. It's all about positive self-talk.
Yeah, honestly, because it's so easy for the negative self-talk to just naturally pop in there. We have to, like, manually get the positive self-talk to, like, be put in there.
Genuinely.
Yeah. But, like, as you said, like, that's so many streams. Like, 18,000 streams is heaps, and 11,000 monthly listeners is insane.
Yeah, like, that seems crazy. Yeah. And again, I'm like, they don't count. They do count.
They do count. Yeah.
You know, it's funny that you said, it's funny that you said because it's in the US, you feel like it doesn't count. Whereas I typically have the opposite feel.
Oh, I feel but because, like,
because it's in the US, that's why it does count.
True. It's like, it's just my friends and family listening to it.
Exactly. It's point, people around the world. The Beatles weren't the Beatles until they made it in the US. They have this whole documentary about it. It's all about the US.
And that'll be us.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, it will be.
I'm being 100% dead honest right now. Like, your music is going places, and even if it's just like the indie kind of like if only like alternative people end up listening to it, it's still like going to be massive in that community because 100%. It's like 100% sounds and feels like a song I would listen to every single day.
Yeah.
So
hands down,
especially Lara and Punch Drunk Love, like they were like easy hand down songs for me to just add to a playlist.
Yeah, so very easy.
Yeah, I really feel like I can see it. Like, yeah, I'm just excited to see like your next EP or the other music that you guys put out in the future, because like your aesthetic as well is very, very like it's aesthetically pleasing to me.
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah. Yes,
yes, win win.
The next question that we like to ask our guests is to list off three songs that they have a connection to and why, the story behind them.
Yes, yes. This is difficult because it's like you'd think three songs. It's easy to choose three songs than to choose one song, of course.
Mm, yeah.
But three songs is still, it's not enough.
No, yes,
I need to tell you every single song I've ever connected to.
I know.
We would love that.
every time we interview someone, we just watch them struggle through the screen and we're like, yes, yes.
So I've chosen some three different kind of era.
Ooh, okay, we like that.
I pretty much run on nostalgia. Like, it's disgusting how much it like fuels me.
same it's,
like, it's... I don't live in my body, I just live wistfully in the past. Yeah,
yes. I live with my five-year-old self, like listening to a So Fresh CD. That is literally my
literally
life.
I'm with you.
It's torture, like it's hell.
I agree. And it's to the point where I'm forcing everything I loved onto my child as well. So it's exactly. Like, you must love this.
Yeah.
Like, please, please watch The Wiggles, please, please.
My first song I chose was When You Were Young by The Killers.
Oh, which, you don't understand how much we love that song.
That is what I say song. Is like when someone asks me what my favorite song is, that's like always my default answer.
Yeah.
Because it just like... I mean, I don't have to tell you guys, but it goes so hard.
It transforms you.
Yeah.
It does.
Honestly.
And I used to hear it a lot as a kid, like on the radio. And then I found it years later when I was like 15. And I was like, oh my God, this is the fucking song that I heard like a few years ago. Just like it hit me in a place. Like you feel it. And I feel like that's just any song that I really like latch onto. It could be any genre, but you get that feeling. I reckon that song just like encapsulates that. But I also was kind of at a time I was like very mentally unwell as a 15-year-old. It was like probably like one of my lowest points as a teenager. I was at like a shit time, but we were in Thailand. I was in Thailand with my family, and I was feeling like no one understands me. Yeah. Like, my family doesn't get it. I'm like a bad bitch kind of thing. But it's like, I'm also so sad. And this song carried, I think, like on repeat for the entire trip and beyond. So that was
I love that. To infinity and beyond. I totally get it. And you know what I picture when it comes to songs like that?
Yeah.
And it's funny that we kind of mentioned infinity and beyond, but I picture, you know those on some toys where you've got like a reset button and it's like this very pinprick button where you have to find a pin. I feel like those songs do that to you.
They find
the reset button, they have a pin, and they just go and they just change you.
Yeah.
That's what
back
they
do. Back to factory settings.
Yeah, literally. I actually completely understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's so true. I love songs that do that for us. Yep. Plus, it's so funny because I think in an episode we did the other day, she actually said almost the exact same story as you, where that was the song that like made her realize what music she likes.
Yep.
Oh, really? Yeah,
it is. I discovered it. I first started hearing it on Guitar Hero 3.
Oh!
And I was 12, I think. And then I was just playing Guitar Hero, wanting to be like a guitar superstar,
yes.
Thinking that I would be because I was good at Guitar Hero. And basically. And I literally played that song over and over, and it actually changed my life.
There's like life before that song and life after that song.
Exactly.
Like, it's such a like.
Instead of BC, it's like BK before Killers.
So true. It's actually so true because I remember the times I started listening to the Killers when I was in primary school.
For sure. Oh,
So good.
It's intense. It's intense.
It is, for sure. Dude, they are, I've watched them live twice and insane. Insane. So, like, one of my favorite performances live ever.
I've never seen them, but I am dying to.
You must. It was so good. I went and watched them again. Was it this year or last year? End of last year.
I have no idea.
I think it was end of last year. It was so good. Tell us your second song. I'm so excited.
My second choice was Dumb Days by Tired Lion.
Oh, I know that. Yes, I was going to say I know that too. Okay.
It was kind of like I discovered Tired Lion around like right like before COVID lockdown type beat. I was having like the best time of my life kind of type beat. I moved out of home for the first time just for a few months into a share house with my best friend and like some of my other friends. I just broke up with my
stinky room boy.
I just started seeing him after I broke up with my ex, but we had been like friends for a really long time, so it felt really like exciting. It was obviously a terrible idea, as you heard the other story. Things did not work out, but everything just seemed like crazy, and I felt very intensely around that time, and that song, whenever I listen to it, I feel like I'm in that time again. And even though it wasn't, obviously I know how things turned out, wasn't fab, but.
Yeah, but you didn't know then.
That's the thing. And it takes you back to that moment of like before you knew. And that's why I love it. Also Tideline, it just like, so fucking good.
I love that you have that feeling. I feel like you feel very similar to us. Yes. Like the way you look at life is very similar. Like just the way you explain things and just that moment, that captures exactly how I deal with life.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you guys get it.
I just get it. Like literally I have the exact same feeling with the song Opinions by Kiss Chasey. There's this like Kiss Chasey. Yeah, because I'm in middle of COVID. I moved into my best friend's house with her and her partner and one of his friends. First time living out of home as well. And it's like, even though I moved out of that within like 8 months and there was like a little fling situation that didn't really turn out, I can listen to a song and it takes me back to either when that was all happy or it takes me back to the moment of when everything was like turning to shit. But I find like so much happiness in the sorrow of that moment.
It's like some people see like I see colors when I listen to music. It's like you can really just make yourself feel like you're in that moment again. It's like so like tangible, but it's like so hard to actually describe.
Oh, it is.
You guys get it.
I get it. No, I definitely get it. It's such it's a special thing, I feel like, to be able to connect a song to an actual moment. It's like when people actually smell perfumes and feel like they're in a feelings. Yeah, feel the exact same feeling. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, what's your third song? I'm so excited.
So my third song is kind of helping me through how I'm doing now.
Yeah.
It's The Way Things Go by Bieber Doobie.
Ooh, Bieber Doobie. I like the name.
Bieber Doobie.
Bieber Doobie. It's got the same kind of fun as Blanko Trango.
It actually does.
Bieber Doobie.
I think it's just like it's got this very like accepting things as how they are kind of energy. And I've been doing a lot of like trying to be present. As I said, I live in the past or the future, or like thinking ahead of like how things are going to be. I'm trying to be more present. Like I've been doing a lot of therapy,
I'm proud of you. That's awesome.
Very proud.
I've been like going to therapy for years, but you know when like you finally find a good one and you're like, oh my God, this is what it's supposed to be doing.
Yes, exactly.
So I think it's just being, it kind of, to me, feels like how I'm feeling now. I suppose how I want to feel now, just accepting the shitty things and being like, oh, well, that's just how it is.
I like that. Yeah. It's just how things go. I really like that. I love the progression of like each song and how it's like, I like the different eras of your life as well. Like, it's awesome.
I feel like that kind of falls into the next question, and I'm going to specify it more a bit towards your situation. So when you were 15, you were saying that, you know, you had that time where you weren't very happy and you were like, oh, what about me? You know, what about me? Anyway,
Denon gets me, though.
If you, now that you've done a bit of work on yourself and you've been going to therapy and putting that hard work in, what would you say to that 15-year-old self who was going through that really hard time?
It's an easy question to answer now because there's, really? There's a lot of inner child healing, I suppose, yes, that comes with therapy, especially like now I'm 25. My frontal lobe is
fully healed. Developed now.
Oh, yes, I wish mine was still bloody chemical imbalance. Yeah.
Can't blame it on that. Anymore.
Yeah.
The biggest thing was just to be kinder to myself.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I, for so long, have just been so like my biggest criticizer. And I think if I had just shown myself a little bit more compassion that as to what I show other people, that, you know, I would have been happier in the long run. But I also know that it's taken me a lot of work to understand that. So if like 25-year-old me came back and said that to me, I'd be like, fuck off. Yeah, who are you?
Get fucked.
Oh, I was very much like that. I still kind of am. I'm like, who do you think you are to know more
than
don't
tell me what myself? To do.
Easier
said than done. But yeah, I think just being kinder to myself and also practice instruments, please. While the frontal cortex is still growing.
Yes. While you're still more like a sponge.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, that's awesome. I feel like that's a really important topic. Like, I feel like we always hear like, oh, would you treat your, like, you need to start treating yourself like you would treat your best friend. But like, no one ever really puts that into practice or knows how to. Like, what are little tips or like, what's ways that you've been able to implement that?
I suppose, I guess when I find myself being really self-critical, and spiraling about this, that, and the other, I picture myself as like a child and be like, what do I think of that person? And what is future me going to think about me thinking about myself this way?
Yeah.
Because it gets me really like emotional when I think about me as a young kid. And even like when I was in my dorkiest, most terrible stage, just thinking about how much I hated myself, and I like look back at myself there, I'm like, if I could see this person in front of me, I would like tell myself how like loved I am and how great I am and like how much I would love that little kid.
Yeah.
So like future me is gonna feel that about me now.
So oh, that's such a good point. Such a good point. You've done your well. You've well and truly done your inner child work. I'm very proud of you as a life coach. As a life coach, I'm like, I can tell she's done it. It's good.
Yes.
Yeah.
You've actually opened my eyes a bit to how to treat myself sometimes. Like just thinking about my younger self and how shy and I don't know, going through all that stuff. I really like that you said, why would you look at your younger self and you think, why would you want to treat yourself that way? Like you were such a beautiful, innocent child. So that's really gorgeous.
Well, it's hard to think about it from where you are now as well. Just like about yourself. There's no good perspective, I think, except to manipulate yourself into giving a fuck about yourself, I suppose.
Yeah. No, it sort of is the way. Like, you kind of have to, like I said before, like, you have to manually turn on that care factor for yourself and manually turn on, like, the way you would naturally attend to, like, a child and make sure they feel validated. You sort of have to do that for you as well and think about it consciously to, like, start getting into the rhythm of it. Because, like, it is so – we're so taught from our parents or, like, the people that are around us as adults when we're a kid to, like, self-criticize and to judge and judge others and then judge ourselves that, like, that becomes second nature to do. But, like, it – we have to kind of unlearn that and relearn how to not – do that to ourselves and inwards. It's I think it's a lot of work that's worth doing, but a lot of people are too scared to start.
I think it has to be done.
Yeah, it has to be done.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like you mentioned before, like therapy is supposed to feel a certain way. Like, do you think that was due to the therapist that you had, or do you think that was also due to the mindset you were in when you entered into that session?
I think it was definitely the mindset I was in, because I have had like anxiety disorder since I was like 10. And I've, like I said, I've always been like going to therapy and started on medication like mid COVID with a different therapist. I did CBT, but it was the realization that it would only ever work when it was like ongoing. And I had like spoken to a few friends about other things I tried, and I had a friend who did EMDR, and she was kind of like, CBT doesn't really actually work for, if you've got trauma, like it's not just going to fix your trauma because it's not behavioral. So I was kind of like, maybe I have trauma, because I feel like you don't think you have a lot of trauma when you do. And that was it. I went in, I found someone who specialized in EMDR and like is really trauma informed, and she's like literally amazing and actually changed my whole perspective on my entire life, because we started doing schema first, and going through that has just been so like eye-opening. Like the whole way I see the world is just, it's like so fucked to think like there's like these few events that have happened or this, that and the other that have actually shaped everything for me. And you just don't, I think it's hard to actually pin that down and think about that. So it's been really, really, really hard, but good. It's necessary, because I feel like a different person.
That's so awesome. It's amazing that you're able to make that shift and like that connection within yourself as well, because it is a big, it's an interesting thing when you think you've gone through life assuming that your trauma can't be trauma because it's not like someone else's, or it's not so obvious. But then when you sit and realize like, oh, I've controlled my whole life based on three events in my life.
Yeah.
And those three events are pretty much the reason why I do almost everything I do, and realizing that they've altered everything, and then realizing, okay, how do I unalter these right now? Like, how do I take back control of my life?
Exactly.
Because I've stuck there. I've been diagnosed with, I've got ADHD and OCD, so I've had them my whole life, but only found out about the diagnoses later in high school. But like thinking back to the way I perceived things when I was a child, I was so oblivious to the fact that like I shouldn't have been feeling that way. And I was so oblivious to the fact that like, oh, those thoughts probably shouldn't be happening. And when you're a kid and you have your own issues going on, like you mentioned, when you were 15, you think that no adult is ever going to understand. Yeah. So you don't even share it with them. You don't even tell them. They don't have any clue what you're actually feeling. And then you're waking up as like a 25-year-old being like, oh my God, why have I felt this way my whole life? And why am I too afraid to tell anyone about this stuff? And why do I not trust anyone? And then you go into like this, like then you, like I went through a similar phase where I, not even a phase, like I went through a life change where I was life altering moment again, but in a positive way, where I was like, I can't live like this anymore. I need to actually like shift my own mindset to actually be okay with asking for help and receiving it, and being able to open my mind to what other possibilities are available to me. And that changed my life as well. So I really think it does come down to a good therapist and good therapy like technique for whatever you're suffering with, as well as your mindset towards that being really in a place to be open to wanting change. Because usually when you have an anxiety disorder, uncertainty and change are like your biggest fears.
It's also like, I feel like it can even say like, if you are able to like say, I've always been like, something's wrong with me, someone help.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But like not being able to get the right help, and everyone's just like, it's just anxiety, you're fine. And it was only first brought up this year that like my psych and my doctor both think that I have ADHD.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, and it is like this like, oh.
Yeah.
People start to actually properly help you and be like, this is what's going on. And it is a relief, because you're like, thank you. Like, you get it. It's validating.
Yes. Yeah. Isn't it the most validating experience when you look back at your whole childhood and you're like, oh, like, that's why. Like, that's why I felt like that whole time. Yeah. That's why I didn't understand that situation or this situation, or why I would cry in my room every night. Like, little things. Like little things.
I was such a little bitch all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So was I. Yeah. I'm such a little bitch. I still am.
The tears are constant.
Yeah.
Constant.
Yeah. Shit. Yeah. Literally, we talk about crying on this podcast a lot because we cry a lot.
We cry a lot. Yeah.
It's real. And
the emotional hair breakdown is making much, like, it, that's why we relate.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
It's always an attack on the on the physical appearance on the outside will suddenly change how I feel on the inside.
It never does.
It never does, but it's sort of, it does for a little bit, though. Like, it secretly does for a little bit. Like, that teensy
It gives you a boost.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I also, you know how I can feel like we all connect because the way you looked at your life as errors? Like, I feel like not many people do that. Like, personally, I haven't met many people that do that aside from me, Elle, and, like, a few of my best friends. Like, where you literally look at your life, like, different stages of before, like, before killers and after killers.
Yeah.
Like, before my parents got divorced, after my parents got divorced.
Yeah, that's how it is for us, pre-divorce, post-divorce.
Yeah.
Yes.
And for me, it's also pre-COVID, post-COVID.
Yeah.
Like, I have that in my head now, too.
Yeah.
The vibe has shifted so much, like, really so drastically about everything. And I feel like that is how it is. Like, it's the eras of the vibe shift.
Exactly. 100%. The essence of the earth in that time is just, like, slightly
altered. The air smells different.
The air, yes!
The air smells different!
Yes!
Yeah.
100% the air smells different. Man, I can smell, like, September of 2010 so well right now. Like, I don't know.
I literally also can. Like, it's so specific. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm a freak, but I wish I could bottle this smell up. And like,
I know.
Like, just going to school, wearing your summer dress, sitting on, like, the outside area, the sun, like, peeping down on your forehead, everything. I love it.
I know.
Amazing.
It's my fave. Like, every time I'm sad, I think it's September 2010, 3 months before my parents' divorce. I'm like, so good.
Everything was great. Turned upside
everything
down.
Was fine. Love was in the air. And then shit turned to crap.
Shit turned to crap.
Yeah, shit turned to crap. No.
Oh my God.
I love this conversation and I really, really like your personality. You seem like a lot of fun.
Guys, same, ditto.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, I really like everything you had to say and I feel very seen.
Yeah.
Right now.
Same, I feel very seen. You guys are the best.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I feel, it's like what I was saying before, I feel like some people really don't understand, like, the feelings that you have before something happens versus after. And I think you have to have this ability to really be aware of your feelings and what's going on. And I feel like that's what you've got. You've got great awareness.
Mm, very true.
Thank you. Well, we must all have great awareness then. We're all just intuitive.
I'm very intuitive.
I think I'm very intuitive to myself. I was literally saying to my husband, like, yesterday, the day before, I was like, out of the blue, I was like, I feel like I'm changed after COVID. Like, I'm not the person you fell in love with. I'm different. I was literally saying, like,
I feel like my body.
I don't know how, but it's
the whole chemistry has changed within me.
It does. Oh, I sometimes wonder if I think that life before COVID was so peachy just because it was life before COVID. Like, was it really that good? Or do I just think that now?
Yes.
I actually think it was that good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
It was, to be honest. Things got so bad.
Things got really bad. Things got really bad. Yeah. And I actually feel like COVID flipped a switch for me in my brain.
Mm. Yeah.
So
I went absolutely crazy.
Now thinking about it from that perspective, I'm like, to be fair, like, my brain would have never known I had ADHD unless COVID happened. But then at the same time, did I only find out, like, as in my brain thinks that, like, if certain things didn't happen, then they would have never happened.
Yes.
So, like,
there's only, like, one way.
Yeah, there's only one way.
One way or the highway.
So it's like, but if COVID never existed, then I would have never had ADHD and I never grew up with ADHD. And then I'm still like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's how stupid my brain is. It's the OCD in me. Yeah. The OCD really, like, loves to play around with all my beliefs. Yeah. It's screwed. But, like, I had this intrusive thought when COVID happened that because I drank water, because I suck at drinking water, right? I had a consecutive week of actually drinking water and I was like, oh my God, that's why we have COVID now, because I drank water. Like, my brain is that ridiculous.
Because you did something different.
Yeah, because I did something routine. I'm like, I am altering the universe right now with my water.
To be fair, it was your fault.
Yeah, it was. And coincidentally, I may have left Taiwan and South Korea the week that it came into our country, so makes sense. There was a lot leading up to this in my head.
I had no idea you caused it, so it's good to know that we have someone to blame.
Yeah, but no, yes. Oh, it's all of my water drinking. This is what I said. Oh my God, Tiff. What a wonderful conversation. You are a wonderful person.
This has been so great. Thank you, guys.
No, thank you so much.
You had a good time.
Yeah, we hope you enjoyed your time with us.
It's great. I was actually really anxious, so you guys are very chill, I feel.
Oh, no, of course.
We're easy breezy.
Yeah.
Honestly, nailed it. Whatever.
We all nailed it. We've all done good today, guys.
Exactly.
You know, I think we've, like, progressed in our life a little bit today.
Yeah.
No, I feel like I have.
Excited, yeah. Please tell our listeners where they can find you, follow you, all of that, et cetera, et cetera.
You can find us, Blanco Tranco, on the places.
Yes, all the places.
All the usual places. Instagram, Spotify, Bandcamp. I think Bandcamp is important. Give us money.
Ooh.
Pay for our things.
Yes. So
our vinyl.
Mm.
We have.
I love vinyls.
Yes.
We got a vinyl made, which has me on the cover, which is just probably, you know, that's the most important part. So if you want to be interested in me,
hello.
That's what you should get. And it's red. So there you go.
I love red.
Ooh la la.
Yeah, very sexy.
Very cute town. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice. All right.
Man, I really enjoyed Tiff. I love Tiff.
Yeah. Just full of life, full of actual vulnerability, and it makes me really happy that
I really appreciate
there's people like her that we connect with.
Yeah. Just goes to show, you know, a lot of people are very vulnerable in their teenage years to different feelings, to being self-conscious and talking poorly about yourself. And it just makes me sad for a lot of teenagers that go through that. Like, I myself went through that too.
Yeah, same here. I feel like the inner critic is really natural to come about in our minds. And especially at that age, it just feels like it's not natural. And it feels like, why am I thinking this way? And everyone else is, like, just going about their life. No one else is suffering like I am. But if you're younger and you're listening to this right now and you might be going through something like that, like, just know that it is natural. It is normal. Most people have experienced that same kind of inner critic. Yeah, it's just about, like, manually trying to kind of show yourself the compassion and reconnect those, like, neural pathways for yourself. And to be honest, be completely frankly honest, I feel like I'm still feeling that way some days today.
I still feel like that a lot.
Yeah. I feel like it all the time. Peaks and troughs.
That's what you say? Pigs?
Peaks and troughs. Is that what it means? Like, the highs and the lows.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were saying pigs, you know, how they eat out of troughs. That's what I thought you were saying.
Pigs,
I'm like,
and troughs.
Like, yes, I guess the pig eats the trough and then comes out of the pig and then they eat the... I thought you say, like, the world goes round, the circle of life.
Oh, yeah.
That's how
anyway, the circle of the life goes round and round.
Blanco Tranco, though, they have amazing music. The song Lara, fantastic.
Make sure you go and give them a listen. Everything is linked down in the description.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, if you are from Victoria, go and see them live if you get the chance to. We are definitely going to do that.
We'll be there. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. Please don't forget to follow us on all of the podcast apps, whichever one that you like. And also, don't forget to check out Blanco Tranco.
Yes, please do not forget to check them out. And if you like what you're listening to today, please rate us a 5 out of 5. It's helpful, it's nice, it's fun, it makes us feel loved.
Yeah, and we really need that, trust me.
We need that validation, that external validation.
We're narcissists.
We're not. But we need the external validation, please.
All right, guys, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye